This is 69 the podcast. I'm Dave Haynes. 69 has been covering the digital signage industry for more than 12 years, first online and now as a podcast. This podcast gives me the time to really talk to people about technology and issues, get past the PR and jargon and into what stuff means. I try to help listeners understand why they should care. You can listen to episodes online, get them off iTunes or Google Play, or subscribe using a podcast app. Whatever way you choose, they're free and there's a new one weekly. The 69 podcast has been gratefully sponsored and supported from the start by Jeremy Gavin and his team at ScreenFeed, the digital signage content store. ScreenFeed makes beautiful looking, totally automated content for signage and digital out-of-home networks. Check them out at ScreenFeed.com. I've always felt sorry for any poor soul who gets the arm put on them to go to a trade show and get schooled up on digital signage. Because there's so many hardware and software companies selling variations on what is essentially the same stuff. I would really feel sorry for someone walking into a big display show, charged with finding the most suitable LED display technology for a project. There are hundreds and hundreds of options out there, and lots of terms being thrown around that seem to have different meanings. There's chip on board or COB, SMD, mini LED, micro LED, glue on board, 4-in-1 LED, on and on it goes. It's my head's gonna explode territory. The LED video wall business is the sort of thing that begs independent, educated analysis. And happily, there are a few people out there doing that work, like Eric Verret, a Frenchman who lives in Portland, Oregon, and spends his working life looking at and decoding the LED display business. Verret, a senior technology and market analyst for the French market research company Yole Development, kindly gave me some of his time recently to help clear some of the fog. I think there was something up with his mic, so it might get scratchy here and there. All right, Eric, thank you for taking the time to speak with me. I've been really interested in talking with you because I follow the LED space. It's a very confused, crowded, noisy kind of space. And somebody who's a market analyst largely focused on that will know a lot more than me. And I suspect be able to clear the fog for some people.
Yes, Dave, first of all, thank you for having me today. I hope I can help clear a little bit of the noise for your listeners and readers.
Maybe the first thing to do is tell the listeners what you do and who you work with.
So I'm an analyst with Yole Development. It's a French market research consulting company. They're probably best known for off-the-shelf market reports. They cover a lot of industries. The display industry is just one of the industries that are covered. And the company makes those off-the-shelf market reports that everybody can purchase, as well as a custom consulting project. So I've been covering the LED display industry specifically.
Now, this is a French company, but you're on the west coast of the US, right?
Yes. So the company has a little bit more than 100 employees, I think, right now. And I'm in one of the US offices, and I'm located in Portland, Oregon.
And why there?
It's more personal and it's related to my personal history. I came here about 15 years ago working for a French company, another French company at the time, a large corporation. And after I left that company, I decided to stay in the beautiful Pacific Northwest.
Where it's weird.
It is. But there's a lot of good beer.
There is. So maybe the first thing to talk about is the size of the LED market. I was speaking with a couple of friends of mine when I was at ISE last week who are distinctly in the business. They're actually a West Coast company as well. And they said if you include the domestic market in China, there are thousands of LED manufacturers.
Indeed, it's a market. So we came to this market when you say LED market. I guess you're referring to the LED video walls, LED displays, or digital signage. So we came to this market really from the perspective of the LED display industry as a whole, so from the component supplier's perspective. And what we do typically is we analyze technologies, emerging technologies, and see how they can impact different industries' market, whether they are consumer or B2B market. So in this case, the digital signage in general is only one of the aspects and one of the market that we are looking at. So we are really more looking at that from the technology and the component supplier perspective. So when we started looking specifically at the impact that those new LED technologies, mini LED, COB, micro LED, and so on could have on different markets, the digital signage market is one of them. And one of the specificity of the digital signage is that it's a jungle out there. There are so many individual companies, especially in China. You're talking literally hundreds. I was naively initially starting to list them and catalog them, and at some point you have to stop, because the more you search, the more you're going to find. So it's a very, very large market, many, many players, but you know, in the end, it's still relatively condensed, and you have a few top players that hold significant shares of the market. So obviously the Layar, Planar companies, the Apsen, and so on, own a significant size of the market and capture a significant part of the value.
Does that mean even if there are hundreds or thousands of manufacturers out there marketing digital signage video wall products, if there's a few that are really commanding most of the marketplace, I would assume that's not really going to drive prices down?
Yes, I mean, it's still a fairly healthy competitive market, because you have so many players. Even in that top five, top 10, you still have many, many players that are competing. So I think there's still a healthy level of competition that constantly drive price downs. And another aspect of this market is the top span of price ranges, even for a given pitch displays. The price range can be very significant, because there are many, many factors that come into play. Even for a given pitch, you have all types of qualities, performance, and relationship with the suppliers, etc.
So I've been following this for about 3 years now, and in the last couple of years in particular, you're starting to see these super fine pitch displays that are being marketed as chip on board or mini LED or micro LED. And as someone who's following this, I'm trying to get a sense of what is what, and struggling. So I can't even imagine what it's like for an end user who's coming at this fairly cold and walks into a big trade show like Integrated Systems Europe and starts asking questions. It just gets remarkably confused.
It is extremely, extraordinarily confusing, and probably even proposing me. I mean, there's a lot of companies that are calling mini LED things that are not mini LED, or calling COB things that are not necessarily COB. So it can be very confusing. So I think at a high level, if you're trying to segment a little bit by technology, so first of all, you have the video wall market. You can segment it in narrow pixel pitch displays and standard pitch. So usually narrow pixel pitch is considered anything below 2.5 to 3 millimeter pitch. Even at that level, people don't necessarily agree on the definition, but I'd say anything 2.5 millimeter or below is considered narrow pixel pitch. But then you have different technologies that can allow you to do those narrow pixel pitch, and typically most LED companies, most video wall makers are going to be using SMD LED, which is a packaged LED. So you have the three red, green, and blue chips that are assembled into a very small form factor packaged. And then this packaged LED is assembled onto the PCB, onto the substrate, to make the display. So that's I would say, it's historically the most standard narrow pixel pitch technologies. From there, you've probably started hearing about COB or COB a few years back. So the idea here is to eliminate the package and assemble the chips directly onto the board. So you eliminate some electrical interconnect, and you potentially, by eliminating the package, you can have a more dense packing of your chips and conceptually address even smaller pitch than that. And to add to the confusion in between, now you have what people tend to call the 4-in-1 packages, where the idea is, instead of having an LED package with just one set of red, green, blue chips, you can have four sets on one package. So what it does is basically allows you, when you assemble your display, it allows you to assemble four pixels in just one operation, because you have one package that contains four pixels. And this allows to also decrease the pitch, increase the packing density. And this is where the confusion starts, because a lot of people are going to call those COB, even if they are not technically COB. They're going to call them mini LED, even if they are not necessarily mini LEDs. So there's a lot of confusion out there.
So chip on board was something that, let's say 3 years ago, and even a couple of years ago, I was hearing that this is the next big thing. This is where it's going. And walking around ISC this week, or pardon me, last week, I got the impression that chip on board hasn't really hit. And it's almost like the marketplace is moving past it.
Yes, I don't know if they're moving past it, but definitely there was a lot of expectation when the technology first came. If you look at it on paper, the promises of chip on board are very exciting. So there are a lot of expectation, but they're also very difficult and they can be expensive to make. So after a couple of years, I think a lot of companies came to their sense and were hit the reality like a wall. But I don't think this is the end of COB. People are learning how to make them better and more efficiently. So initially on paper, if you look at it, by eliminating the package and assembling the chips directly, there's a lot of potential benefits. So obviously you can increase the packing density, so reduce the pitch. So it can allow you to go to a much smaller pitch, much less than 1 millimeter, even 0.5 millimeter. A question, of course, that we can discuss maybe after is, do you really need 0.5 millimeter or less than that when you know that a 4K LCD 75-inch TV, for example, is basically 0.4 millimeter pitch. So I think the narrow pitch was one of the major promise of COB, but there are also promises in terms of better performance, for example, the contrast. You've probably seen Sony's Clelis or CLED or Crystal LED, whatever they call it that day. So it definitely has very nice contrast. And that is because the chip is very small and the ratio of the surface occupied by the chip versus what can be a black PCB is very small, less than 1% in that case. So better performance, potentially better reliability, ruggedness, because you can encapsulate and protect all those chips easily, and they are not as easy to knock off the board as a package SMD LED can be. So on paper, that's a lot of potential benefits, but if you look at them now, a couple of years later, the lower pitch, definitely it's a potential strong advantage, but now you have those 4-in-1 packages that are very promising and that can allow display maker to make 0.7, 0.6, probably very soon 0.5 millimeter pitch using traditional SMD packaged LEDs. So it means they can deliver the very low pitch without having to completely retool their fab, their manufacturing facilities, without learning new technologies. It's pretty much, it's not, I make it sound very easy, but it's almost plug and play technology. So lower pitch can be addressed by standard SMD technologies. The contrast, a lot of those SMD packages now come in black, so they also deliver a fairly good contrast. Ruggedness, I'm sure you've heard and seen that a lot of the traditional SMD LED displays can also be kind of potted into some sort of epoxy or transparent polymer, and that also bring the ruggedness. Here again, it's not as easy as it sounds because you have to do a lot of work to find the right potting materials and conditions so you don't create stress that could damage your LED. And you're also adding an optical interface that can wreak havoc in the performance of your displays. But it can be done and it's done. Some companies have been offering that for a couple of years now and have very high quality products.
Yeah, I heard the term glue on board last week for the first time.
Yes, yes. I've heard that. Yeah, I know, as an example, Planar LER has their Hero LEDs, and I've seen many other companies that are offering similar technologies. Again, it's not as easy as it sounds. It's not just about like dripping some glue on the surface of the display. If you want to do it well, it's a lot of work, but if you do it well, it does it does the job in terms of ruggedness. It can even also help with the reflectivity of the screen, with the color of angles, homogeneities, and so on. So there's a lot of tricks that can be played there.
So what is the difference between mini LED and micro LED? And is micro LED even something that you would do for large format digital signage? Because I kind of think of micro LED as something that you do for like heads up displays and, you know, watch faces, things like that.
Yeah, that's correct. So here again, there's no commonly accepted definition of mini versus micro LED. So the way we look at it, of course, it's mostly size. I would say anything above 100 micron is definitely not a micro LED. We typically set the limit around 50 microns. So below 50 micron, we call that micro LEDs. Above 100 micron, we call that mini LEDs. And then there's kind of that gray area between 50 and 100. And here the definition is driven not only by size, but by a combination of size, application, chip design, and manufacturing. Because if you want to do a micro LED, if you want to address consumer displays such as a TV, a smartphone, or even more augmented reality head-mounted device, the size of the chip has to go actually even significantly lower than 10 microns. And at that size, what you're having is not just a scaling down of traditional LEDs, it's a much more disruptive change in the way you design and manufacture the chips. So we like to say that mini LED is mostly a scale down of traditional LEDs, so it's more evolutionary technologies, whereas micro LED is more disruptive. And in terms of application, they really each have their field. So you're looking at micro LEDs for smartphone, TV, wearables, augmented realities, and you're looking at mini LED for large video walls, digital signage, and also in LCD backlights.
Hi, I'm Jeremy Gavin, CEO of ScreenFeed. Now, I'm not put off by the fact that you're not listening to this podcast to hear me. Just like audiences to any digital signage, you give your attention to content you find interesting or helpful. That's where my company ScreenFeed comes in. Our sole mission is to make your digital signage network more valuable by making content that is more valuable to your audience. If you'd like to drive more attention to your screens, visit screenfeed.com to explore the 75 plus content options we've created to do just that, and then give us a call. Now, back to the podcast.
So if I see a LED display company marketing their big video wall as micro LED, I should effectively roll my eyes.
In most cases, you can. So the Sony's crystal LED technically meets the definition of micro LED because they are using very small chips that are less than 50 micron size. But to my knowledge, the only one on the market today to do that. There's been some other companies that have showed and introduced micro LEDs, LED video wall, which in effect are using really standard LED size chip of typically 125 by 225 microns.
So they're just co-opting the terminology and kind of ignoring the fact that that's not really what it is.
That's correct, yes.
And when I'm seeing displays around a trade show floor that are sub 1 millimeter, most of those would just be standard SMD, or would they be mini LED?
Yes, most of them are probably standard SMD, because nowadays you can have SMD packages as small as what they call 0.505, which basically means that they are 0.5 millimeter by 0.5 millimeter. So with an SMD LED like that, you can get to a 0.7 millimeter pitch. And now with the next generation of what I call the 4-in-1, you can get even lower, probably to 0.5 millimeter pitch. So there are a lot of options there to make a very narrow pixel pitch display with SMDs. That said, there are some real COB, COB on the markets. So some companies, so Sony is one of them, coming to my mind, Silicon Core, Deep Sky, Samsung, Epson. So there are about, I think, a dozen companies that have real COBs. And I sounded like I was killing COB a bit earlier when I said, okay, this is the potential advantage, but you can do the same thing with SMB. I think on the long term, COB still has some potentials, and one of them is actually a potential to reduce cost. So this seems a bit far-fetched because I basically just say right now that they're difficult to make and they're kind of more expensive. But conceptually, if you eliminate the package, typically the package is about 50% of the cost of an LED, of a SMD LED. So if you remove the package, you can probably reduce the cost of your LED cost in the bill of material by about 50%. And since the LED themselves are about 60 to 70% of the total bill of material for narrow pixel pitch displays, it means you have about potential 30% cost reduction in the bill of material. So we looked at that. We talked to some of those COB companies. Some of them are very optimistic or aggressive. They estimate that on the long term, they can reduce the total cost of a narrow pixel pitch display by 40 up to 50% by using COB technologies. We've done our own cost modeling. We're a little bit more conservative, but there's definitely potential cost saving of about 30%. And that's significant because those narrow pixel pitch displays, they are very extraordinarily expensive. So if you can reduce the price almost by 20, 30, maybe 40%, you can definitely increase penetration and volume.
And I gather one of the reasons that costs are high is the manufacturing time to pick and place all of those thousands or even millions of LEDs onto substrates to create a big video wall. It even though they're working at blinding speed, it just takes a long time to place that many, right?
Absolutely. So that's definitely the single largest obstacle now for a cost-effective COB. To assemble COB, so you have to go from assembling packaged LED, which can be very fast, and LED display companies has that type of equipment. If you go to COB, you have to completely change your fab and get equipment to assemble die instead of SMD package. And the die bonders with the kind of accuracy, precision placement accuracy that you need for narrow pixel pitch displays, the throughput's typically going to be 5 to 15 die per second. So if you're trying to assemble a 4K display with that kind of tools, it's probably going to take about a week or 2 weeks to assemble just one display. So there's a need for much, much faster technologies. And this is where the interplay between micro LED and mini LED can come into play, because for the micro LED industries to address consumer products such as smartphones, televisions, and so on, they need technologies that can assemble probably 30, 50, 60,000 units per second. So literally orders of magnitude than what current die bonder can do. And the thing is that they're making progress with that, and there's a very significant amount of money that people are investing into what I call those massively parallel pick-and-place technologies. So this investment is made for micro-LEDs for consumer application. But if and when successful, this is going to trickle down into the digital display, digital signage world. And then the COB manufacturer can benefit from those technologies, and they will be able to very cost-effectively assemble their COB displays. So from there, we can really start seeing the potential cost reduction. So the assembly is one opportunity for cost reduction, and the die size, of course, because the cost of the die, I mentioned earlier that the die is about 50% of the cost structure of an SMD package. The cost of the die scales with the surface. So we were in LED displays. The typical die is, for example, 120 by 220 micron. If you can shrink that to 50 by 50 micron, that's already a 10-time reduction improvement in the surface, which pretty much scales down to a 10-time reduction in cost of the die. So by combining very fast, efficient transfer process and smaller die, you can potentially get to what I mentioned earlier, which is a narrow pixel pitch displays using COB technology that could be 30, maybe 40% cheaper. So we are not there yet. definitely. It might take some time. It might never happen. Those technologies are really still in the early days of their development, but there's definitely a significant amount of effort and money that is put by the micro-LED industry to do that, and that could trickle down into digital displays.
Would the use of mini-LED or micro-LED for television sets, do you see that happening?
It's definitely an intriguing and exciting possibility that some companies are looking at. Sony actually presented, as far back as in 2012, they presented a micro-LED 55-inch full HD TVs that, according to all the people who saw it, looked absolutely stunning and beautiful. And at the time, Sony wasn't shy of letting journalists and analysts very close to the set and look at it in different angles. And the report says that the picture was incredible. That was 2012. This was never seen again. So definitely, I'm sure some problem with the manufacturing assembly and the cost of this. But it was a very exciting proof of concept. And so it took another 7 years to see this year at CES the second micro-LED TV presented, this time by Samsung. That was a 65-inch 4K display that also made a very strong impression. It's not perfect yet, and with the technology they're currently using, it's not a consumer product yet. By that, I mean that the cost is probably an order of magnitude or more compared to existing TVs. But that's definitely something that Samsung and others are really looking at closely today.
And why would they do that if they, you know, the Samsungs and ROEs and AUs and all these manufacturers that have huge fabrication plants for LCD, or in the case of LG, OLED, why would they be trying to invent new technology or present new technology that's going to really take away from the billions of dollars they put into these fabrication plants?
Yes, it's a difficult proposition, of course. If you have all those plants that are, in some cases, not even depreciated yet, you want to keep running them. For now, micro-LED is really one of the possible options for high-end television, so to compete with OLEDs. LG is currently the only company that is capable of manufacturing OLED TV panels. So they make those panels for themselves, for LG Electronic, and they also sell those panels to Sony, Philips, and other companies. But today there's only one manufacturer of OLED TV. Samsung specifically, they kind of missed the boat. They bet on the wrong OLED technology. So in 2012, they kind of pulled the plug on their effort for OLED TVs. They've been extremely successful, and they still are extremely successful on OLED for smartphones. They dominate the market with more than 90% share. But for TV, right now, they're kind of struggling on the high-end segment of the market because they have LCD. They're trying to supercharge their LCD with quantum dots, which does improve the color space and peak brightness, improve consumption, and so on. But in the end, it's still LCD. Micro-LED, there's what we call self-emissive technology, which means that every single pixel is its own independent controllable light source. So they retain all the benefits of OLEDs without any of the drawbacks. So they have almost infinite contrast and wide viewing angle, very fast refresh rate, but you can also drive them really hard and have very high peak brightness. They're also much more rugged. They last longer. So for Samsung, micro-LED is one of the technology they might be able to hedge on and to fight back against LG on this high-end segment. There are other technologies they're looking at, but micro-LED is just one of them.
Is OLED a technology that's really suited for commercial applications? Because I'll talk to the LG folks and they'll say absolutely, and they've figured out the image retention problems and other issues. Now I talk to other people and they say quite the opposite.
Yes, of course. My personal opinion is that for most application, OLED is probably not suitable or the best technology for digital signage. It has to do with how you use it. If it has to operate 24/7, the OLED material lifetime is not there yet, especially if you need to operate at high brightness, which is often the case in digital signage, and even worse if you have fixed image or contents or logos. So OLED might be suitable for some applications in retail or even for transparent, semi-transparent displays. They showed some pretty impressive displays at CES this year, but it's definitely not for all applications.
All right, last question. Is there a technology that's on the near horizon that's coming, that display technology that people should start paying attention to? I know your friend from Planar, Sam Phoenix, said she's intrigued by light field displays.
Yeah, so light field display, it's the dream since we've been watching Star Wars. So it's basically the
Princess Leia.
Yeah, the hologram type of display, real 3D without glasses. And by real 3D, I mean that if you move around the image, you actually see it in different angles. So the light field is more related to the optical stacks and optical technology you're going to deploy. By that, I mean that you can make a light field display from OLED, from LCD, from laser, from projections, and so on. One of the major challenge is the phenomenal amount of information you're going to need, because each pixel, instead of having just a color and brightness information, now we'll have to somehow integrate information of what the viewers is going to see at different angles. So they're not called pixels anymore, actually, they're called voxels. And it means that every voxel needs to encode very large amount of information. So it's a challenge for resolution, because if you want a high resolution light field display, you need display technologies, LCD, OLED, whatever, that are extremely high resolution, because 4, 6, 8 pixels is going to turn into just one voxel. And the correlate to that is you need very high processing power and bandwidth as well. So it's very exciting technologies. I'm starting to see some prototypes that are looking pretty good, but they're still fairly small and they're still a bit clumsy. So I think we are really looking something quite long term here, in terms of the technologies, in terms of the cost, and in terms of all the infrastructure to support it. But I would say it's the end game, of course.
Is there anything nearer term that intrigues you?
Nearer term, so really we're looking at, this micro mini LED is definitely an exciting one. It has the potential to be quite disruptive in many, many applications. But if you look at the consumer space, there are many other technologies that are being investigated. So we talked about OLEDs. There are different versions of OLEDs, and people are working on making OLED more efficient, better, brighter, and cheaper by using printing technologies, inkjet printing technologies, which would be much cheaper than the current semiconductor type of lithography and masking technologies. So that would both reduce the cost and improve the brightness, and the correlate would be that it would increase the lifetime. So maybe you would solve this image retention problem. There's quantum dots, there's electroluminescent quantum dots, which is basically similar to OLED, except it's an inorganic material, so potentially higher, longer lifetime. Samsung's working on a hybrid of quantum dots and OLEDs. We're expecting a decision on the significant investment to be made within the next few months. So there's a lot of technologies on the radar. It's an exciting moment to be a display industry analyst.
It's good to be a writer in this space and a consultant, because it sounds like people are going to continue to be confused for some time.
Yes, perfect. They need you and they need me, and that's what we want.
All right, Eric. Thank you.
And it's fun.
Thank you so much for taking the time with me.
Oh, my pleasure. Thanks for having me today.
That's it for this week's episode. I hope you enjoyed it and learned a thing or two. If you're new to 16.9, it's a podcast that's been around for more than 2 years. You can click around the archive and find more than 100 conversations with smart industry folks. If you're new to digital signage, you need to be reading 16.9 at 16-9.net. There are now more than 6,000 posts in there about this industry. Everything about 16.9 is free. Great sponsors make my work possible, and one of those is podcast sponsor ScreenFeed. Check them out at screenfeed.com. 69 is a product of Vertical Media Consulting Group, the massive media empire I run out of a spare room in my house, now located outside beautiful, amazing Halifax, Nova Scotia, on the east coast of Canada. Thanks for listening. I'm Dave Haynes.